The book of Luke, chapter 2, please, this morning. Luke, chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 22. Luke chapter 2, verse 22. And we'll just read this passage here and then we'll pray. Luke 2, 22. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, that's in reference to giving birth, and Leviticus chapter 12 tells us that a son that's born, the woman was to withhold from corporate worship for a period of 40 days, 7 days, and then the circumcision of the child, and then a further 33 days. So this is following that time. According to the law of Moses were accomplished, verse 22, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. This is one of the most amazing passages, I believe, in the whole Christmas story. Here is a man who can hold a baby just over a month old. He's holding this tiny, tiny thing. And he knows that it's the Savior of the world. Amazing, amazing thing. This is a man who's worthy of our time this morning as we look at this passage. But let's go to the Lord in prayer, firstly. Father, we love you, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come together this morning to sing praises to your name together, to worship you through the service and to sit under your word as well. And I pray, Lord, that your word would be clear to us this morning. I pray that you'd be honored and glorified as we respond to what you have for us this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. An amazing passage. They're just holding this tiny, tiny boy. This man by faith said, this is the Savior of the world. This is the Messiah. This is who the Jewish people have been looking to come. And yet here he is, a baby. Not a man, not a king, but just a baby. All babies are roughly there to there at that age. Maybe the feet are a little bit longer than the elbow, but you can nestle a child's head in your hand and they fit on your forearm still at that age. Amazing man. This morning we've awarded and we've commended children within our church family. And that's not insignificant. Don't look on that as a waste of our time this morning. That's important. Very often we overlook the children within the church family, but they're a part of this church as well. And please understand that we take the time to acknowledge them for the work that they've put in their Sunday school classes this year. And yes, it is also a time of worship. We can be thankful to God for what He's doing in these young ones' lives. Very often we can overlook it. And here in Jerusalem's temple, Luke chapter 2, Jerusalem, the capital of the Jewish religion, in the temple, the center of Jewish worship, a woman and a man bring a tiny baby in obedience to God's word. And time is taken in the busyness of this big city, in the busyness of worship of God. Time was taken here to dedicate this child. There would have been other children this day as well, boys and girls. The girls, according to Leviticus, they were to wait 66 days for this to take place. I don't know why. God knows. So, there in the center of Jewish worship, time was being taken out there to stop and dedicate these children to the Lord. So I don't think it's wrong for us to do that this morning as well. Room and time was given there. Verse 24 tells us that this was not the home of some religious leader, and therefore the child was worthy of the priest's time. This wasn't some rich person. No, verse 24 tells us that what they brought was a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. That was what the law allowed if you were poor, if you were not wealthy. One was to be given for the burnt offering. If you weren't poor, you were supposed to bring a lamb. And the sin offering, that was supposed to be a dove or a pigeon. With the exception of if you had no money, if you were poor. In that case, you were to bring two pigeons or two doves. One still for the burnt offering and one for the sin offering. So we know here that this was not some home that was worthy of the time to be stopped. No, this was a time of worship for that home to dedicate their child to God. Now, in hindsight, we know that this child was more than just any child. That this child was the Son of God. Not just the son of Joseph and Mary. He was fully human and yet fully God at the same time. We know in hindsight what Simeon saw by faith. Simeon saw what we know to be true, but how could he have known it? Except, as the Bible tells us, through the Holy Spirit. Simeon was a godly man. Verse 24 tells us that it was a very poor home. Verse 25 tells us about Simeon. He was just, he was devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That was a phrase that wasn't, you know, didn't just translate in my head. Well, the consolation of Israel, what was that? What's that? Well, consolation, think of consoling, bringing comfort. That's a rough translation. But this is an idiom. This is a turn of phrase. This is like saying, oh, you've hit the nail on the head. Or don't give up your day job. They translate into another language, but the thought contained doesn't translate. So yes, the consolation of Israel, it's talking about the comfort of Israel, but it was an idiom. So it's more than just a translation. It's in reference specifically to the provision of the Messiah to the Jewish nation. He was waiting for the provision of the Messiah for the Jews. He was looking for that. But many Jews were waiting for the Messiah. Think ahead to later in the Gospels, when Christ, riding on a donkey, rides into Jerusalem, and the crowds cry out, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" And they try and make him king that day. Because they were looking for a Messiah. And yet this man is not looking, Simeon isn't looking at a man presenting himself as a king. Simeon is looking at a baby. I know that the carol tells us that little Lord Jesus, no crying he made. All babies cry. That's not biblical. He might not have. Sometimes I tease my boys and say, "Oh, little Lord Jesus, no crying he made, don't cry." Yeah. But that's not in the Bible. He's just a baby. He would have been doing what babies do. If it was time to cry, he was crying. If it was time to sleep, he was sleeping. He was not the picture of what the Jewish nation had looked for in a Messiah. He was just a tiny tot, just a tiny baby. And yet Simeon was looking for the Messiah and saw the Messiah. Many were looking for the Messiah, but he saw also what many also missed. Yes, many that day saw Christ's triumphant entry and tried to make him king, but we know also that thousands and thousands missed Christ's coming. The Jewish leaders missed it. And yet here we have a man seeing what many Jews were looking for and still missed. This man wasn't seeing a man. He saw a baby and still saw the Messiah. In something about that 40-day-old baby. Our first point this morning, Simeon saw this child's potential. Verse 29. "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." Simeon saw this child's potential. I've seen thy salvation. I've seen the one who will bring salvation to all mankind, Simeon says. He's talking about just a tiny baby. All of us have hopes for our own children. But this was not a hope. This was a man not emotionally attached to this child. He wasn't hoping this baby would turn out to be the Messiah. He said, "Lord, you told me I wouldn't die until I saw the Messiah. I'm ready to die now. I've seen your salvation. I've seen the coming Messiah now. Whenever you're ready, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to die." Now that is amazing faith. That takes spirit filling, obviously. This man saw some amazing things. Just turn back a couple of pages to the tail end of the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 15. Maybe 3-4 pages backwards. Mark chapter 15. At the tail end of the gospel, obviously, we have the other end of Christ's earthly ministry. And here in Mark chapter 15, we come to the crucifixion scene. Look, please, in verse 33. Mark 15, 33. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jump down to verse 37. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Simeon saw that this child was the Messiah. And God's plan for the Messiah was to be a substitute for man's sin debt. All sorts of religions seek to appease God or seek to appease some heavenly being. But that's not God's way. We don't need to appease God. Other religions and other ways of attempting this are religions that try and buy God's favor through being good. That also is not God's way. You can't out-good your bad. The Bible says all have sinned. You can't be so good that your bad is done away with, that the scales tip in favor. The Bible says all have sinned. All have sinned. And God, knowing that, provided salvation. And that's why Christ, hanging on the cross, cried out, it is finished. It's finished. The payment has been made. The sin debt has been taken away. That was the whole purpose of the Messiah's coming, to pay for the sin debt of mankind. And yes, at Christmas we recognize his birth, but his birth is looking to what we recognize at Easter as well. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. That is the purpose of this child being in the temple. That is what Simeon is talking about. That is his whole focus. So Messiah had to die for your sins. And once he did, once it was finished, he cried out, it is finished. Because it was finished. No more did man have to try and appease God. No more did man have to try and buy God's favor. Because it is finished. The payment had been made. You go into Maya and you try and buy a product. Once you've paid the amount on the tag, you get change. You can't keep giving money. You've already paid for it. And in the same way, we don't have to keep doing good and good and be better and better, because our sin has been paid for. Once it's paid for, there's no more payment need to be made. We need to place our faith in Christ that he is our Savior, but no more needs to be handed across to God. And he cries out, it is finished. And there, in verse 38, it tells us that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. No man had a hand in that. That was God, because it was finished. The same veil would have been no more than 20 meters away when Simeon was holding that baby. And Mary and Joseph, they're holding the two pigeons, about to sacrifice them for the burnt offering and for the sin offering. That would have been done in the forecourt of the temple. And just behind where that was going to take place, in the holy place, there was a veil separating man and God. And the priests could go in there if they were cleansed. But if they were not cleansed, they shouldn't go in there either. Because man's sin was separating him from God. But now, sin has been paid for. It was finished. And the veil rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Because access was available now into God's presence. Because sin had been dealt with. Sin had been dealt with. It was finished. The payment had been made. And so that temple curtain that would have been there, just behind where Simeon and Joseph and Mary were standing with baby Christ, baby Jesus. 30 years later, roughly, it's rent in twain because of who that baby was. Salvation was provided. Simeon saw the potential by faith. We'll come back to Mark 15 in a moment, but back in Luke chapter 2, Simeon says, "My eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." God had a purpose for that child. It was to provide the salvation for all mankind. And just like that child, God has a purpose for each of these children that came up here this morning. God has a purpose for each of you and I. God has a plan for us. God has a purpose. The Bible tells us that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Was that just a statement of fact? When he said that, did he just say that's how it's always going to be? That wasn't his implication. His implication was the harvest is plenteous. There's not enough laborers to bring in the harvest. Therefore, we need more laborers. If that is God's purpose for any child, then who are we to stand in the way of that child? But equally, if God's purpose is not for that child to be a servant of God, it's just as wrong for us to push a child towards Bible college as it is for the parent that holds their child back from Bible college and says, "No, my child's going to be a doctor. My child's going to be a lawyer." God has a purpose for each one of us here this morning, including the children. And it's our job to get on God's page. What does God want for me? What does God want for my children? We're not here with no purpose. We haven't come from nowhere. God has a purpose for us. It's our job to know what that purpose is. Simeon saw this child's potential, and we've already noted his purpose, providing salvation. Secondly, Simeon saw this child's importance. Verse 32, continuing on, "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." This man of God saw what so many missed. And this is another area that many, many people had missed. Not only was he the bringer of salvation, but he was going to provide salvation not for the Jews only, but for all mankind. The Jewish leaders missed that he was the Messiah. But even the apostles, the disciples who became called in the book of Acts apostles, even they at the beginning missed the fact that salvation was provided for the Gentiles. But Simeon here, led of the Holy Ghost, says that this baby is a light to lighten the Gentiles. The non-Jew was never shut out of God's economy by God. But the way that the Jewish nation had lived out, I suppose, their Jewish religion, had excluded the Gentile. They'd pushed them away. But now the way for the Gentiles was going to be made clear. Let's go back to Mark 15. That verse we finished with. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." This centurion, this Gentile man, caught what the Jewish leaders had missed just the day before. Just the morning, that morning, they were still in ignorance. And this man acknowledged that Christ was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. The centurion acknowledged it. Yet, he was a Gentile. But salvation was going to be provided for all mankind. Had been provided. It was finished. The temple had ripped. And now, here we have a Gentile man acknowledging, wow, that was the Son of God. And just like Simeon acknowledged that baby, the Holy Spirit pricked him and he said, that child, he's going to be the Messiah. And in the same way, this Roman soldier, something about that whole experience that he'd observed, this man hanging on the cross, something about the way Christ conducted himself there and died, told him, this is the Son of God. He was just a normal man. He was just there doing his duty. He was just there following out his orders. And yet he witnessed and he acknowledged. And here's Simeon, back in Luke 2, holding a 40-day-old baby, acknowledging also that this child is going to lighten the Gentiles. Salvation won't be just to our people, but will be to all people. Amazing. He saw the importance of this child. Parents, we need to see the importance of ministries to our children as well. Some of us, we bring our children to Sunday school halfway through. What are we conveying to them about the importance of being in God's house? What are we conveying about the importance of God's word? The teachers have prepared a lesson whether your child is there or not, whether they're there halfway through the story or not. But they're missing out when they don't get the whole thing. When we're conveying that it's not important. We're not encouraging them to take it seriously. We're not encouraging them to work on those memory verses. The Word of God is told, we're told, is a sword that divides asunder. And when we put God's word in our minds, just let it loose. It will do its work. Spiritual growth can happen in a child. It's not something that they have to wait till they're teenagers, wait till they're young adults, wait till they're an adult. No, children can be spiritual too. And when we don't see the importance of them getting ministered to directly. Yes, they're sitting in church. Yes, they're sitting under the sound of the preaching every Sunday. But that's not tailored directly to them like a Sunday school lesson. That doesn't mean they shouldn't pay attention. But the lesson is more direct. And it's important that we see that. Simeon saw this child's potential. He saw this child's importance. And finally, he noticed one more thing here in verse 34. One more thing that we'll focus on this morning at any point. And Simeon blessed, Luke 2 verse 34. And Simeon blessed them, the parents, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Just jumping across the brackets there, verse 35, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And then he, in the brackets there in verse 35, he says directly to Mary and Joseph, Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. Simeon also saw the difficulty that this child was going to face. The hardship that this child was going to face. Yes, he's God. So of course he can deal with the difficulty. But at the same time, he's man, experiencing difficulty. He slept in the boat, and the disciples waked him and said, Carest thou not that we die? He was asleep because he was mad. And yet because he was God, he said, Peace be still. We can't fully fathom that meshing together of man and God, and yet it's what the Bible teaches. And so yes, he was going to face difficulty as God, but he was facing it in the flesh as man as well. All of this that Simeon saw was because he was walking with God. Verse 26, it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost. Verse 25, the Holy Ghost was upon him. This man walked with God. This man loved his God. And he allowed the Holy Spirit to control his thoughts. He allowed the Holy Spirit to control his life. He allowed the Holy Spirit to guide his choices in life. This man walked with God. And yet he was just a normal man. He wasn't a superhero. He was a man who chose to let God have a hold of his life. And you and I can choose to let God have a hold of our life, or we can choose to wrestle it back off him and say, hands off, I know what I'm doing. And many of us choose to live that way. He allowed, though, God to fill him. And as a result, he perceived that God's promised Messiah was indeed this baby. As a result, he saw what 30 years later many missed. Why? Because he had a relationship with God and the Holy Spirit had a hold of his life. And that first Christmas season, he also saw the pain and the trouble that was ahead. But that was allowed by God for a reason. That pain and suffering had a purpose. It wasn't just a side thought. He was paying for our sin. God allowed it. Without it, we'd still be in our sin. We'd still be on a broad road leading to hell. And in the same way, difficulty, pain in our lives, God allows, not because he's malicious, but because it has a purpose in your life and in my life. We get to know God better. We get to know his character. We get to know ourselves and our inadequacies. Because of difficult times in our lives, we learn to lean stronger and be more reliant on God, how we should have been in the first place. Adults, many of us, all of us probably, have had difficult times in our lives, which looking back, yes, have made us stronger if we learned the lessons from those times. God allowed those to teach us. Some of those times were caused by our own stupidity, and our parents looked on and wept for us, knowing that good would come out of it eventually if we just paid attention to what God was doing. Some of those things were caused by others to us. Some of us, even it might have been our parents that caused difficulty in our lives. And yet God allowed that. Why? That we would walk closer to Him. That we would rely on Him and not on man. As adults, we can be thankful that we learnt those lessons. But as adults too, we need to be careful that when difficult times come in our children's lives, that we're not over them and shielding them from those things, because they won't learn the lessons. We need to be careful that we are there for them, to pray with them through the difficult times, to guide them through the difficult times, to help them see what God's trying to show them. But don't hold them back from the difficulty. How will they learn the lesson that God wants them to learn through it? God told Simeon there's going to be difficult times in this child's life. But Simeon at no point tells Mary, "Hey, be ready for it. You be ready. You protect him. He's your son." He's not forewarning so that something can be done to prevent it. He's telling her straight, it's going to be hard and it's going to hurt. A sword will pierce. It will be such a painful time for you. He's not warning her for that purpose. He's warning her so that she's ready, so that she doesn't miss it. So that she sees what God's doing. The Bible says, "Yet a man is born unto trouble as sparks fly upward." Sparks always fly upward. A man is born to trouble. All of these children this morning will have difficult times. And whether you're the parent or you're just an observer, you can help them through those times. Guide them, show them how to face such difficulties. Simeon, in closing, saw some amazing things. He saw the potential. He saw the importance. He saw some times of trouble coming ahead. But he's just holding a 40-day-old baby. But because he allowed the Spirit to have control of his life, he saw what thousands missed that day and others, right through Christ's life. Just a handful of people were there on his side at the cross. Why? Because everyone else was confused or had totally missed it. But when we let God have a hold of our lives, we see what others miss. We see his hand working. We see the opportunity. We see the potential. And God can use us, can work through us, and he's glorified. He saw it because the Holy Spirit was working in his life. This Christmas, don't let your flesh have the victory. Don't give way to the flesh during Christmas. Let the Holy Spirit continue to lead and guide you. Let him have control of your life. Child of God, let the Holy Spirit have control. Live how God would have you to live this Christmas, and you won't miss what others will miss. Let's pray.